Good morning, everybody. As Jamie said before, we're looking at missions as May is Mission Month. So we've been looking at missions over the next few weeks. It is coming predominantly out of Baptist Missions Australia, which was formerly GIA, which was formerly ABMS, which was... Anyway, so we're using their material, which is more like Jesus. So the theme of the next month is missions, but looking at being more like Jesus. Now, if you know my history, I've been a part of missions for longer than I'm a minister of a church. So I'm old. So I've worked with three different mission organisations. And being a part of that, I've looked at missions and said, well, what is missions about? Why do we do what we do? How do we do what we do? What are the goals of what we do? And it's amazing how different and various the understandings of what missions is, of what the goals of missions is. Because some would say, well, we're the plant churches. If we look historically at missions, if we look through Africa and India and stuff, it's about colonisation, that missions and colonisation was tagged together. There was an institutional aspect of religion that was connected with the politics and blah, blah, blah. Then it became something different about planting culture and church and culture. But is that really what missions is all about? As I said, I've worked in three different mission organisations, and it was a mission trip I did that was intriguing in that it showed two very different understandings of what missions was all about. We went to Thailand, and it was a school mission trip, so it was year 11 kids. So there was about 10 of us that went over. I was working with GIA, formerly ABMS, now BMA. Got to keep up. The chaplain was with the ACC church, and so a lot of what we did was connected to the AOG missions at the time, the ACC church. But I escaped a couple of times and hung out with the GIA guys, and it was very interesting to see their different goals. And I just want to show you one picture. We travelled in Thailand. We were staying in Chiang Mai, and we went up to Chiang Rai, which is right near the border of Laos. No, Burma's over here. I'm going to go with Laos, and if no one corrects me, then I must be right. So they were hill tribe people. They were very, if you've met Thai people, they're very, I know the picture, I can't see the words, very... all those things. And so we were talking with them, and we had the AOG missions, and they were there, and they had built a church for them. There was about 30 Thai people in the corner, then us in the other corner. And in the process of this, it was, okay, guys, now stand up and shout for the Lord. Shout to what God's calling us into, and all this stuff, and sing louder. And I'm just there trying to understand how this concept of yell and scream and do stuff and be out there fits in with a Thai culture, because obviously these people were very, very uncomfortable with that. We went to a church that was a Thai church, and it was based on a Hillsong church, and it would have been a Western Hillsong church, except it was in Thai. And they had translators, so I listened. And it was all about prosperity gospel of you can be rich, you can be wealthy, God wants to give you everything. And I was so frustrated and disappointed that these people had taken their picture of church and said, this is church, you should do this. The global interaction way is quite different in that it's sitting down with people and making disciples and exploring what it means for them to worship Jesus together and exploring what it means to do church. So how does church exist in your culture, knowing that some of your culture is not good or not right, but acknowledging that some of your culture is okay because God made us all different? So I said to these guys, I'm trying to understand how this Thai culture fits in with what you're doing as church and what that looks like, and and why it is. And the response they had was, oh, no, 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 no. There's Thai culture, there's our culture, but this is God culture, and God culture wins. And I thought, that doesn't fit in with the God I know. That doesn't fit in with the culture of what God is. That doesn't look like very much like the culture of who Jesus is and what Jesus did in his day. That seems a lot more like your culture that you're dumping on people. And now I'm not dissing missionaries or, please don't hear that. I'm trying to express what I understood at that time in that place. So how do we understand what God's goals are for people, for cultures, for countries? Because when we look at and try to understand Jesus, it's in a very different culture to us. I'm going to suggest that Jesus would be very uncomfortable here. Jesus' culture was different. Jesus' climate was different. Jesus' connection with people was very, very different. And for us to understand Jesus, we need to almost take a step and sit down next to him. I'd like to encourage us all to take off our shoes and put sandals on. A few robes, mate. We need to get into a different culture in a different place and try to understand who Jesus is, what Jesus was doing, what Jesus was saying, and why Jesus did the things we did. Because it looks different in that culture than what it does in our culture and what it does in the Thai culture. But do you think Jesus is speaking into the Thai culture? Absolutely. Do you think Jesus is speaking into our culture? Absolutely. And Jesus was speaking into the culture of the day that he was a part of. And our hard work is trying to understand who God is and what Jesus was saying and doing within the culture that he was a part of. And so when it comes to missions, we can't just say, Jesus did this, therefore we're going to copy it, because that's so different to our culture. But what Jesus did has a significant impact on how we understand the world, understand the principles of God, and understand where he's leading us. And that's hard work, because we need to drop our culture a bit. I would love to explore, and I've tried to explore before, what would it look like to Jesus to come to Australia and say, this is how we're going to do church. Because you know what Jesus did not do? He didn't tell us how to do church. Jesus' goal wasn't to plant a church. I'd be out of a job. Jesus came to connect with people, to deliver people, to restore what was broken, to give hope, to give life. Jesus came to resurrect what was broken and give us a future. And within that, we have to understand, how do we interact together to encourage each other, to empower each other, to value each other, to strengthen each other, to cry with each other and to laugh with each other. Because that's what being the people of God is. So then we look at missions. What is the goal of missions? If it is replicating what Jesus did, it's come to love people, to care for people, to have compassion on people, to bring deliverance to people, to resurrect what's broken in people, and to create from that a way of connecting together for them to be able to celebrate each other, to support each other, to love each other, to cry with each other. So what does that look like for missions? Let's go back and have a look at the text. Let's have a look at Mark 1. And it starts off with verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When they'd gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The first thing we learn of this is the power of immediate obedience. The word that's used twice in that passage is euthys. And in Greek. And what it means is immediately. When Jesus called these, come with me, they immediately, straight away followed him. Now that stands a little bit against our understanding of safety, doesn't it? If I was to stand here and said, I'm going to Kazakhstan next week, I've booked a plane, I've got 52 seats, come with me. Who's putting their hand up? I better book more seats. That would be tough. That would be hard. That would be uncomfortable. Can you imagine your kids' response? Have you got medical insurance? Have you left the keys of the car so I can use it? The understanding of immediately is crazy. But that's what Jesus called these men to do. Immediately follow me. And their response was a huge thing because who lives in the same town as their children and their parents? One, two, three, four. Excellent. Most of us don't. And yet in Jesus' day, children followed the parents' lifestyle, life stream. The children were the retirement for the parents. The parents were the grandkid, looked after the grand. Everything was one. People didn't travel all that much. People stayed in their own village, did what their parents did. Remember 50, 60 years ago, most businesses were called Johnson and Son, blah, blah, blah. How much do you see that now? Because we've changed. Our culture is different. Our understanding of family is different. For these men to hear Jesus' word, follow me, and to immediately go, yep, that's huge. They stepped outside of their comfort zone. They stepped outside of their future financially, of their security, of their relationship. And it was the reality of the sacrifice that they made. Everything they understood as a culture, as a people, as a family, were turned upside down. Because Jesus called them and they responded to that call. Their whole family obligation, their relationships, everything was changed, and they knew that. The sacrifice they made was huge. And when we're called by Jesus, we will feel unsafe. We feel a lack of security. We will be asked to step out of what we're known for, what we understand, what our culture is. A part of following Jesus is stepping out from what we have known. And when we look at missionaries, they're living in a very different place. Over the next couple of months, we've got a few different missionary people coming in that we support to be able to speak and to catch us up on where their lives are. And their lives where they live is very different. To go from, say, here into Indonesia, Muslim country, to live there with their kids, leaving behind everything they know, is huge. I don't know if you know how different Kazakhstan is to here, except for the cold. But they have proper cold, not this pretend cold that Stanthorpe has. We live in a cold country, whatever. They're called to something different. They live a life that's different. They are outside of their security, of their future, of their relationships. They sacrifice a huge amount. And they have a faith before they have a full understanding. They stepped out. Jesus has called them out and they stood out. Who's this Jesus? Huh? Well, I don't know why the disciples followed Jesus. There must have been something about him. There was a little bit of a reputation, but not much. There were words about this, Jesus is doing this and this, but not much. And yet he said, come with me. And they went, yes. Into what? With who? What is it about Jesus that when he said, follow me, they said, yes, straight away. They stepped out in faith, not knowing the details, not knowing who. At the end of Jesus' time with them, they still didn't really know who he was. They stepped out trusting, in faith, believing who he was. Jesus called people out to follow him. Jesus calls us out to follow him. And for some people, that means moving to the other side of the world. For some people, it means staying in the same town they've always been a part of. But we're called into God's kingdom to be Jesus to those around us, every single one of us. We are all missionaries in a way, because we are called to be Jesus' people, Jesus' hands and feet, into the community that Jesus has called us into. And if we're sitting in here, then it's probably this area here. Jesus has called us here to make a difference, to be Jesus to our community. Just a quick thought. Are you Jesus into this community? Are you Jesus to your neighbours? Are you Jesus to those who live around the corner to you? The people who are in Cambodia with Baptist World Mission, Kim Lean and his wife Catherine, talked a little bit about what they do. And a little bit of what they do, they said, each week we come together to build our relationship, eat together, share life stories, pray and be active. We read God's word and discuss how we understand it and what it means for our daily lives and relationships. Each of these men who they meet with have stories of hurt and broken trust. When we come together, we take time to talk, laugh, cry, sing, open our hearts, share our life experiences, our emotions, and to seek one another's encouragement and wisdom. As people, we need one another. We need safe communities where we can be vulnerable. That's their church. That's how they do church. They don't have a building that's called church. They don't have a set program that's called church. They sit together. They study God's word. They pray together. They encourage and empower each other to become more and more like Jesus. What they wrote was that Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the core of who they are. And as a part of that, I'm reading out the message because this is what they wrote. The message version of Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you are into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. God's calling us to not stay the same, to not be comfortable in our history, in our traditions, in our culture. But he's calling us to follow him, to step out, to become more like him. And as we become more like Jesus, we do more of the things that Jesus did. So God's calling us to be a disciple, but as a disciple, we're to become more like Jesus and to be more like Jesus into the community we're a part of. I've gone from Mark 1, 16 to 20, and I'm going to go through the rest of the passage now as we look more at what Jesus has did early days of how he transformed the people. Because Jesus, first off, taught with authority. He wasn't like the other teachers in the synagogues. He weren't like the other teachers that would go around. He taught with an authority that they hadn't seen before. And I want to read out of verse 21 to 27. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "Who is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to the impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Jesus didn't just come and have an intellectual argument. He didn't just come and to say, this is the history of this and this is... But he came and said, now you need to do something about it. Jesus brought about transformation. He brought about change. And he told us, he told the people there, that you cannot be the same if you're following Jesus. And we have that same space. We don't walk around just as humanity, just as academics. But we walk around as the children of God. We walk around understanding that we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We walk in the power and authority of Jesus or who he is. We have the power to transform this world, to transform the people around us, to transform ourselves. And we need to walk in this authority and in this strength. We also need to demonstrate compassion through teaching. Jesus' healing wasn't just about getting better. Look at the healings that Jesus did. There were stories about why, of what that meant, of how that connected to people, how that was different to the culture and the relationships that they all had. Reading from verse 29 down to 34 and then from 40 to 42. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus came about transforming the culture and the expectations of rewriting what was expected. This story of the man with leprosy is crazy because people with leprosies were not allowed in the town. They were ostracized. They believed it was more contagious than COVID. I know, right? He said that if you had leprosy, you touched someone else, they had leprosy, and everyone was doomed. So as a town, they said, as soon as you had leprosy, you're out. You're excluded. You're not a part of us anymore. And yet this man with leprosy came to Jesus and said, "I know you can make me healed. I know you can make me clean." And Jesus, what did he do? He stepped back and he said, "Yeah, you're all right, mate." Jesus touched him. You don't touch lepers. Rule number one, like everybody knows that, right? You don't touch lepers. So what did Jesus do? Touched him. Showed him compassion. Showed him love. Showed him acceptance. And then he made him well. Transform this person's life. Jesus didn't just fix the illness, but he enabled this man to come back into the community, to come back into his family, to come back into his work, to have a life, to have a roof over his head, to have proper food, to connect with his relatives, and to be well. And we are called not just to bring about healing, but if we follow in Jesus' footsteps, we walk with compassion and wholeness and restoration. We walk in a place of going, we want to bring healing to people, but we also want to bring emotional healing. We want to bring spiritual healing. We want to bring a forgiveness of sin. We want to bring people into a relationship with Jesus that lasts for eternity. We're called to follow in Jesus' footsteps, to be people who transform those around us. But if we're following Jesus, there's more to it than that. Because Jesus didn't go around in his own strength, but he spent time with the Father. And he's leading us, or he encourages us, to spend time with the Father as well. In verse 35 to verse 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled through Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus sat with his Father, and we are called to sit with our Father, to understand who Jesus is, to learn to sit in his place and understand why Jesus did what he did, what that means for us, but then also go away and to sit with the Father and to have time with him, to get our strength from him, to get our healing and wholeness from him. We're not called just to be doers, but we're called to be like Jesus, to walk in his footsteps and to walk in his strength and in his power. So what does that mean for us? If we're to follow Jesus, if we're to make that sacrifice, being aware of what that means, to step out of what we feel is safe, but to step into something new, what does that look like for us? What does it mean to walk with authority? What does it mean to walk with compassion? What does it mean to want to transform our community? You know, I'd love to have an answer. But there is no one easy answer. But you know what? Jesus is leading us to an answer. Jesus is creating new ways of experiencing who he is, new ways of connecting together, new ways of being able to speak his words, more new ways to be able to reach into our community. There's a story about a pastor in Hobart, and he was praying and saying, "God, how do we reach out to the people?" And what he found was that there was a subculture of Nepalese people, so people from Nepal, who were in town. They come into Hobart to do uni. Now, if you think the public transport in Stanthorpe's pretty ordinary, Hobart's worse. So all of these young people coming from Nepal had no means of transport, of connecting around. There wasn't, and so they were all very isolated. So this pastor and his church decided to set up a driving school. So what they would do would they give 10 hours of driver's training to the Nepalese students so they could get a license to be able to get to uni and to get to church. So he has a Nepalese church in Hobart that came out of driving school. So how do we reach into our community? Because God has ideas that we haven't thought of yet. God will show us things that we don't know and we can't recognize and we can't see, because God does God stuff. But what's he calling us to? He's calling us to follow him and to be like him, to become more like Jesus and to do the things that Jesus did. So the question is, what does that mean for you? A different question is, what does that mean for us? And we're looking at different things as leadership, saying, well, where is God leading us to reach out to our community? Where is God leading us as a people to transform the community that we're a part of? There's already opportunities through chaplaincy, through RI. Would you like to be an RI teacher? I can lead you to. There's ways of interacting in our community, but God's leading us to new ways as well. And God's talking to us as a church leadership about what that looks like as Stanthorpe Baptist Church. How do we reach and transform our community? But the question for you also is, what's God leading you to transform the people around you? I'm too old. No, you're not. I'm not smart enough. Yeah, you are. I don't have people skills. You can learn them. God's calling us to transform our community. Where do you fit? We're going to move into communion. And as a part of communion, I'm going to ask you to ask God to show you where you fit. What is next for you? What is he saying to you? Follow me. But first I want to pray. Jesus, we can never be Jesus, but we can be a reflection of who you are. We can be more like you. We can chase after you. And Father, I ask that you help us to learn how to do that. Father, we live in a world of safety, a land of security. We live with the understanding of think first, act second. But Father, when you called the disciples, they acted first, full stop. They stepped out in faith. They stepped out in bravery to follow you. And Father, for some of us, you're calling us to step out into something new. Father, some of us, you're just wanting to reaffirm what we already know of our calls. But Father, I ask that you help us to be so understanding and clear in hearing you. Help us to be brave, to step out and follow what you want us to do. Father, help us to know that our security doesn't come in money and the things that we have around us, but our security is totally in you. All the things that are worthwhile come from you. Father, thank you that you are our God, that you have broken all of the brokenness in our life. You have restored it, you have fixed it, you have healed it, and you're bringing wholeness for our future. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much. And Father, just in the next few moments, I ask that you speak to us so clearly about who you are and what you're calling us into.